Hey, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer in Brooklyn, New York. Today, I'd like to share with you some thoughts related to the Seder, and in particular, to the practice of Korech, Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, the Hillel sandwich, which we do just before Shulchan Aruch. I'd like to share with you a story that Rabbi Twersky records, and it's regarding a Rabbi David Ibeshitz, who's a major posek and rav. He was a rav in a town in Europe known as Soroka. Now, he was, unfortunately, the relationship between the rav and the kehillah was not the best. Not only wasn't he paid a living wage, but he also met very severe opposition to the reforms that he wanted to put into place regarding Talmud Torah and Kashrus and all types of things. Now, when he got to a certain point and he realized that he couldn't do much more, and he was frustrated, he saw that there was another position of the Rav of a town in Romania that was open, and he applied for the position. He was accepted. When he left the town that he had been in all these years, so all the townspeople, all the balabatim came to see him off. And they walked with him to this train, which was out of town on the outskirts. Reb David Ibeshitz got off the coach, the wagon. He is about to get on the train. He turns around with the train to his back, the people in front of him, and the city off in the distance. And he looks over to the city and he says, "Soroka, you're one of the most beautiful cities in the world." Upon which the balabatim, the community officials, looked at him and they said, "If it's such a beautiful town, why are you leaving? And why were you so critical of us when you were the Rav?" So he responded somewhat tartly, "You don't understand. Now that you're all out here, out of the town of Soroka, here by the train station, the town itself is beautiful. It was while you were in the city that it became an impossible place to live." And I share this story by way of introduction, thinking about what it means all these months and for some communities a full year later, where people are emerging from a pandemic in which they've been isolated for a good amount of time. Some people for a few days, some people for a few months. There's some communities that are still in many ways in isolation. And it seems to me that one of the big challenges over this last year has been the challenge of isolation, people living isolated from one another. Even if schools are open and kids are going to school, there's still been significant isolation. One of the silver linings of that is that you don't have to deal with people that you don't particularly care for. Because if you're in your house and I'm in my house and you're doing your thing and I'm doing my thing, so we don't ever come in contact with one another. So in a certain way, you know, all the challenging people, you know, were basically picked up and pulled out of your life. Now that many communities are getting back to normal, and people are beginning to see each other again, and families are beginning to intermingle again, and shuls are beginning to be full again, so the challenge is no longer how to live in isolation, but the challenge has been actually how to live with each other. And that's something which is possibly even more challenging than living in isolation. So it's with that background that I want to share with you a little bit about Korech and about why it's so significant. So let's start with just asking a basic question. The Haggadah says, "Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, Kein Asa Hillel Bizman SheBeis HaMikdash HaYakayim." This is what Hillel did when the Beis HaMikdash was around. HaYakorech Matzah Marah, Pesach Matzah Marah, V'Yochel B'Yachad. He would take the Pesach, the Matzah, the Marah, maybe two, maybe all three of them. I eat them together. L'Kayim Mashaneh Marah Matzah Samarom Yochluhu. In order to fulfill the Pasuk. So, a couple of basic questions on Korech. Number one is, why do we do Korech at all? usually when you have a halacha that's in some measure of dispute, so we paskin. We paskin. We follow Beis Shammai, we follow Beis Hillel, we follow Rabbi Yehuda, we follow the Chachamim, we follow Rav, we follow Shmuel. Whatever it is, it's not normal. It is not normative halachic practice to retain a minority view in face of some type of a halachic decision. Even if the Gemara itself doesn't give us a psak halacha per se, nevertheless, later generations choose the halacha versus Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rav, Shmuel. We make choices. So just the advent of having Korach in the Haggadah altogether is very strange, because just a few moments earlier in the Haggadah, in the Seder, we were Mekayim mitzvah of matzah umara. We did it. So now we're doing it again. What are we doing it again for? To be Mekayim like Hillel did in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So it seems to be somewhat challenging why it's retained in the Haggadah. And the second question is, even if we do have a good reason to retain it in the Haggadah, why are we associating it with Hillel? Just say, we can print in the Haggadahs, Tzafon Barech Halel Nirtza. So we get up to Korech, and instead of Motzi Matza, Mara Korech, Tzafon Barech Halel Nirtza, or Shulchan Arech, Tzafon Barech Halel Nirtza. So we'll just do it a little faster, right? There's no need to have this whole introduction. Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel Kenasa Hillel B'Zan Shemitah Kayam HaYakorech. So just skip that whole thing and just do it. So, and even if we're going to have some type of introduction over here, the question really is why are we associating this with Hillel per se? Most halachas, or most times when we do something, we don't say we're gonna follow the halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda. We're gonna daven mincha according to the zman of Chachamim. We paskin, Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav, Shmuel, Rav, Abaye, we paskin. Why is it specifically associated with the name of Hillel? So those are two essential questions which I would like to address. Why is Korach and the Haggadah all together when it's subject to a dispute? We already fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah and maror. And second of all, why are we specifically calling out Hillel? And in answering these two questions, Be'ezras Hashem, I would like to offer perhaps a deeper understanding of what the message of Korach is altogether. So in order to answer the question, I think we have to go back to an essential understanding of one of the basic themes of the Haggadah and of Seder night, and that is that the Haggadah really functions as one huge tikkun for the sin of Mechiras Yosef, right? Yosef's brothers, the Shvatim, sold him down the river. They sold him down to Egypt, right? They were challenged by him. They were jealous of him. They were upset with him. Whatever their issues were, they cut him off. And they got rid of him. And that, of course, is ultimately the Shalshalas HaDvarim. It is the consequence which yields the Galus Mitzrayim. And therefore, if Mechiras Yosef, which is the cause of this Galus, is the significant factor, i.e., Sinas Chinam, the brothers not being able to make space for Yosef, cutting him off, sending him away. If that is the essential sin, which is the cause of the Galus, then what we're doing on Pesach night, which is all about trying to get ourselves closer to Geula, right? We're recalling the Geula of old, and we're trying to get ourselves closer to the Geula of now, right? We end the Haggadah, Shana Bab Yerushalayim Habnuya, right? Hashta Avde L'Shana Habab B'nei Chorin, right? So we are, in fact, the trying to go through a process in which we are attempting to execute behaviors and transform thoughts and ideas in our minds and in our bodies in the way which we conduct ourselves such that we can effect a geula, a redemption. So that's, if we understand that as the basic as a basic underpinning of the entire Haggadah, then some things really begin to fall into place. So the brothers excised and they expunged Yosef. And our goal is to understand that we have to be, we cannot excise and expunge. You cannot just get rid of people. But rather, we have to be makari of people. Rather, we have to find inclusion. We have to find space for all of Klal Yisrael. And if that's the case, then let's take a look at some fascinating things in the Haggadah. So there's a question as to what is the essential part of the Haggadah? What is the essential story of Maggid? So it's Machlokas Rav Shmuel. It's like two Haggadahs. Rav says the essential point is Avadim Hayunu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves. Now we became free. And Shmuel says, no. Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Our forefathers originally were pagan idolaters, starting with Terach Avi Avraham. And then Hashem brought us closer to Him. So we have two views as to what exactly the Haggadah is altogether. Maggid is altogether. And which one of these do we include in our Haggadah? Answer, both. We take both Rav's approach and Shmuel's approach. Why? Because philosophically, essentially, experientially, Pesach night, the Haggadah, is a time when we do not excise people. We do not expunge people. So we include Rav and Shmuel. We don't make a choice. Rav and Shmuel, we include them both. Similarly, do you ever notice what I like to call the accountants section of the Haggadah? Right? How many miracles were there in Mitzrayim? How many miracles were there in by the Yam Suf? So we have three opinions, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We have 50 miracles, 200 miracles, 250 miracles. Which one do we choose? We include all three views in the Haggadah. Why do we include all three views in the Haggadah? Because when it comes to Pesach night, we do not excise, we do not expunge, we do not get rid. We find space for everyone. So even the drasha of how many makos there were, how many miracles there were, we include Rabbi Yossi Haglili, we include Rabbi Eliezer, and we include Rabbi Akiva. We do not choose one over the other. Of course, we have even Hallel. Now, this is not a machlokas, but there are two versions of Hallel. Hallel Mitzrayim, which is what we say on Yom Tovim and on Rosh Chodesh. And then you have Hallel HaGadol, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasda, which we say which we say on Shabbosim and as well as on Yom Tovim. But which is the Hallel? Which is the Hallel? In other words, we say that in our Psukei Dezimra. So which is the Hallel that we incorporate in our Haggadah, in our Seder? Both. We do Hallel Mitzrayim and Hallel Haggadah. Again, it's not a machlokas, but rather than choosing one over the other, we do both. And there are good reasons for that, but we do both. But when it comes to the end of Hallel, here there's a machlokas. At the end of Hallel, the Gemara in Pesachim says, the Mishnah in the Gemara in Pesachim says, that Hallel is supposed to end with Birchas Hashira. Right? What is Birchas Hashira? So there are two views to what Birchas Hashira is. Yahalucha, and there are two views. So which one do we choose? What do we do? Answer, we do both. We do both according to the opinion we're Messiahim twice the Hallel. We're Messiahim by Yehalalucha, and then we're Messiahim again by Nishmas. In other words, we include both Birchas Hashira, both views of what Birchas Hashira is. So it's fascinating. We take Rabbi Yehuda's view and Rabbi Yochanan's view. Why don't we choose one? Choose one, just like we do everything else in life. You choose one. There's a machlokas. No. When it comes to Seder night, when it comes to the Haggadah, we do not excise, we do not expunge, we do not choose one over the other, but rather we find a place. And therefore, even the all opinions are accounted for in these various examples that I've just shown you. Of course, The greatest example of this, which I'm sure everyone here has intuitively thought from the moment I started down this path, is the Arba Banim, right? That's the best example of this. The Arba Banim, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Talmud, the Deil Lishol, and especially the Rasha, right? We don't get rid of the Rasha. We find place for him at the table. We find place for everyone, the Tam, the Shein, and the Daily Show, but especially the Russia, where we might have had an inkling, we might have had an intuitive sense that Bidafka Seder night is when we should say, you know, Tzeischem L'Shalom, we'll see you, you know, we'll see you in a few days, Mr. Russia. But no, it turns out that Bidafka on Seder night is when we find space for the Russia. Why? Again, we're doing a tikkun for the chet, for the sin of Mechiras Yosef. If the essential underlying midah of Mechiras Yosef is cutting people off and sending them away, i.e. sinas chinam in its most raw form, then the whole tikkun which we do during this night is about finding space for Jews, finding space for the other, and including them, all the way from the Russia on the one end of the spectrum to a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda, about how you're Messiah Hallel. In all of these contexts, we don't choose one and reject one, but rather we find space for both. And then there is the most flagrant example of this, in my view, which is the fact that there are five great chachamim mentioned in the Haggadah, which you might think would not all be in the same book, and they are Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. All of these individuals shared one common experience. And you know what that common experience was? So the Gemara in Brachas tells us one of the most sad and tragic and powerful and meaningful stories that are in the Gemara. And it is the story of the rebellion, the coup d'etat against Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi at the time. Rabbi Gamliel had a big machlokas with Rabbi Yoshua over a halacha of whether Mariv is considered a Rishus or not. And the Chachamim in the Beis HaMedrash were not pleased with the way that Rabbi Gamliel handled this machlokas with Rabbi Yoshua. And in one fell swoop, they decapitated him. I mean that figuratively. They removed him from his position. They fired him. They gave him a pink slip. And who are all the members of this story? Without getting into the story, all the details of it. But who are the players in this story? Rabbi Yoshua represents the group that gets rid of Rabbi Gamliel. And you have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who takes his place, and Rabbi Akiva who comes in at the end to try to, on one level or another, either make shalom or at least bring some clarity to the situation. All of these individuals who were involved in a big, big machlokas, even a bigger machlokas than maybe some in some shuls that you and I may know. This was a huge machlokas. It was a coup d'etat. They got rid of Rabbi Gamliel. But in the Haggadah, everyone has a space. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva, they're all together. Maybe not at the same Seder, but they're all together. They are all given space in the Haggadah. Even if this event occurred, after, in other words, the Haggadah is assuming after this great conflagration, and even though that story of the firing of Rabbi Gamliel ends with some level of reconciliation, you can imagine, you know, people having some hard feelings afterwards, and if not the participants themselves, maybe their supporters having hard feelings. We can imagine that. But yet, they're all given space in the Haggadah. Because the Haggadah, Seder night, is a time of finding space for everyone. Especially people that maybe we have hard feelings for. Or especially for people that we have challenges with. So this is all the theme of the Haggadah. Now, this doesn't answer anything that I mentioned about Korech. But if we understand this, everything that we've set up until now, Korach now falls beautifully into place. So let's think about Korach. Korach has two fundamental parts to it. Korach is the halacha of Korach, and then Korach, the author, the personage who's associated with it, with Hillel. So look at the halacha of Korach. The halacha of Korach is the machlokas between Hillel and his and the chachamim, his chaverim. The Gemara says that the chachamim said there's no Korach. Korach is absolutely forbidden. Gemara in Psachim Kuftesvav. The Gemara says that you can't do Korach. To take matzah and to take maror and to bind them together and eat them, no. It cannot happen. It is halachically incompatible. And the reason is based on the following principle. Asi mara derabanan, umivatale la mitzvah diaraisa. You're going to take maror, which is a mitzvah derabanan, and it has a very sharp taste, and it is going to overwhelm and overpower and invalidate the mitzvah diaraisa of matzah. So you can't have maror and matzah together, say the Chachamim, because of the fact that the maror is going to overpower and invalidate, in a word, to be mevatel. It's going to be mevatel the matzah. It is going to invalidate the matzah. Comes Hillel and responds. He says, no, mitzvos ein mevatlos zo zo. One mitzvah will not be mevatel another mitzvah under any circumstances. Two diaraisas, two derabanans, one derabanan, one diaraisa, doesn't make a difference. One mitzvah cannot be mevatel a mitzvah, another mitzvah. This is a powerful, powerful thought. Hillel is saying, and what we, the reader, should be understanding, is that if one mitzvah cannot be mevatel another mitzvah, one Jew may never be mevatel another. You can never just excise and expunge another yid. You cannot just pick him up and get rid of him. Just cut him off. We cannot be mevatel another Jew. Halachically speaking, one could make a very good argument for keeping Korach out of the Seder. What do we need it? We have a yachid, we have a rabbim, we have a majority opinion, a minority opinion. Even if it's not even if it's not paskined in the Gemara, we paskin, we find, we choose. No. The halacha that underpins Korach, the reason that Hillel said that it's there altogether, is based on the notion that we are not mevatel. One mitzvah will not invalidate another mitzvah, and one Jew must never be mevatel another Jew. This is a tikkun. It's the perfect tikkun for the chet of Mechiras Yosef, when they picked up Yosef and they just excised him, expunged him, got rid of him as though he never existed. And this also explains Hillel the man, Hillel the personage. Not just his halacha, but Hillel the human being. Who was Hillel? I will share with you another amazing story about Hillel, which is also in the Gemara in Psachim. And it's a story that happened on a yontif like we're just about to experience in a couple of days from now, which is Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. It happened some 2,000 years ago that there was an Erev Pesach, fell out on Shabbos, just like this year. And in Eretz Yisrael, the rabbinic leadership was run by the B'nai B'Seira. The B'nai B'Seira were running things. And as it happened, on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, before Shabbos Erev Pesach, they realized that they didn't know a particular halacha. The Gemara says that they were unaware as to the question, are you allowed to shecht a Karban Pesach on Shabbos? Right? When do we shecht the Karban Pesach? We don't shecht it on Pesach. The Karban Pesach is shechted, is slaughtered on Erev Pesach. So if Erev Pesach is a Wednesday and Pesach is Wednesday night, so we slaughter the Pesach on Wednesday. if Pesach is Monday, and Erev Pesach is Monday night, and Erev Pesach is Monday day, so we slaughter the Pesach on the carbon on Erev Pesach on Monday before Yom Tov begins. That's when you do Shechitas HaPesach. But here the Bnei Bisera said Erev Pesach is going to be Shabbos. Can you slaughter an animal on Shabbos for a carbon? So Hillel, who we all know and love dearly, is outed as one man who would know it. And the Gemara says, Hillel habavli sheshime shnei gedolei hador shmaya v'avtalion. He would know the answer. Hillel would know the answer. Because he was meshamesh, he studied, he lived with, he served, he knew the halachos and the people of Shmaya and Avtalion intimately, and so he would know the answer. The two gedolei hador, he would know the answer. So they asked Hillel, and Hillel responded, if I may paraphrase, that's the most ridiculous question I ever heard. He says, why? Because what are you asking me if you can shecht the carbon Pesach on Shabbos? There are 50 Shabbosim a year, each that have four animals in the carbonos of Shabbos, meaning Shachris, Mincha, and Musaf. There are four animals every Shabbos that have to be shechted. So what are you asking me about one carbon Pesach on Shabbos? There are 200 animals over the course of the year that are shechted every single Shabbos, you know, over the course of the year. So what's even the question? So the Bnei Bisera said, okay, so you're telling us you can shecht the carbon Pesach, but minayin lecha, how do you know this to be true? So what's going on over here? The question isn't quite as obvious as Hillel made it out to be, because while it is true that you can slaughter a karban on Shabbos for the Shachris and for Musaf and for Mincha, for those karbanos, those are all communal karbanos. But you cannot shecht a private karban. You want to bring your own personal private karban on Shabbos? You can't slaughter a karban like that. So really what the Bnei Bisera are asking is karban Pesach seems to have qualities of both. On the one hand, all of Klal Yisrael has to do it, so it might be considered like a public communal karban, but on the other hand, every individual has to bring his own, which maybe makes it a private karban. Okay, so Hillel responds as he did, and then they ask him, well, you know, how do you know this to be true? It's not good enough what you said. So he brings a limud and he tells them that it says regarding Pesach, it has to be given at its specific time. It says regarding the karbanos on Shabbos, it has to be given at its specific time. So just like Shabbos, the karban overrides the rules of Shabbos. Similarly on Pesach, the karban also overrides the rules of Shabbos. But at the end of the day, Hillel gave him an answer. And the answer that he gave him was in a pretty tart, harsh, and difficult manner. So this is all happening on Friday before Shabbos Erev Pesach. So they were so enamored by Hillel that even though he was an outsider, even though he's Allah mi Bavel Shmo Hillel HaBavli, everybody knew him as Hillel from Bavel, right? He wasn't part of the Chevra, he wasn't part of the in crowd, as it were. They appointed him to be the Nasi. Miyad Hoshivuhu Baroshu Minuhu Nasi Aleihem. They made him into the Nasi. That's pretty powerful. And now, sitting high and mighty on his throne, as it were, Hillel HaZaken is darshaning all the halachas, and people are coming and they're asking him, Rabbi, how do I kasher my oven? And is this have an OU on it? Or is this hechsher okay? Or is quinoa can be eaten on Pesach? They're asking him all the important questions. So in the middle, all of a sudden, they realized once again that they weren't sure about a halacha. So they came to Hillel, and they said, Hillel, what's a halacha if you forget to bring your shechita knife on Shabbos to shecht the karban? In other words, you can shecht the karban on Shabbos. We've established that. But what if you have to carry the knife on Shabbos? Are you allowed to carry the knife on Shabbos to get there? And he said, you know what? Yadati v'shachachti. I learned this from Shmaya Naftalion. I learned this from Shmaya Naftalion, but I don't remember the answer. He was stuck. So this is quite a comeuppance for Hillel. A moment ago, Hillel was telling them that the question that they asked was the most ridiculous question in the world. And furthermore, he said, I didn't say this a moment ago, but furthermore, he rebuked them. And he said, you know, had you only listened and learned and valued Shmaya Naftalion the way I did, maybe you would know the answer. But you were a bunch of lazy oafs. Atzlanim, you were lazy. So he's really giving it to them. And now they ask him a second question after they made him the Nasi. And he says, you know, I learned this from Shmaya Naftalion, but I don't remember what the answer is. So he thinks for a moment, Hillel, and he says, I'll tell you what. Hanach lohen li Yisrael im ein neviyin hein b'nei neviyin hein. That, you know, we're going to see, what does the Amcha do? What do the people do? This is not the first time that there's been a Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Shabbos, but I'm going to leave it to the Jewish people. They might not be prophets, Einan Nevi'im Heim, so they don't know the answer for sure through Nevuah or anything else, and they're not scholars. But you know what? B'nei Nevi'im Heim. They are the children. They come from Nevi'im Heim, and there is a certain intuition that the regular man in the street, the regular woman in the street is going to have. And we're going to follow what the Amcha does. We're going to look at them, and the intuition of Klal Yisrael is going to guide us. And Taka, that's what happens. The very next day, now it's Shabbos, Friday is over, Shabbos has begun, and now they see the people are bringing their knives in a certain way, which is halachically appropriate, and they do it in a certain way. And Hillel says, ah, now I remember. Now I remember this is exactly what the people are doing. This is exactly what I learned by Shmaya and Avtalion. Now I remember. What's the point of this whole story about Hillel? The point of the story about Hillel is that Hillel starts out as an individual who is clearly an outsider. He's Hillel Sha'ala Mibavel, and he's known, the Gemara says, and they call him Hillel HaBavli. He's outside. He's not part of the Inchevra. But he proves himself, and he's appointed to the position of power. He becomes the Nasi, the greatest sage of the day. But by the same token, Hillel then treats the B'nai B'Seira with real disdain. And this is, of course, you know, problematic. But Hillel has a turnaround. And Hillel learns an important lesson here. Because a moment later, or an hour later, or however much later on that day, when he's asked the question, and he doesn't know the answer, he basically says to himself, ah, I was wrong. I was wrong to just dismiss the B'nai Eretz Yisrael and the B'nai B'Seira for not knowing the halacha. Look at me, I can't remember the halacha myself. And now I realize, who must I rely upon for the halachic conclusion here? Klal Yisrael. The man in the street. Imein Nevi'im Heim, B'nai Nevi'im Heim. And what Hillel is basically saying is that even I, the Nasi, I need you, Klal Yisrael. I'm dependent on you now to figure out what the halacha is. I need you. That is the essence of Hillel HaZaken, the personage. He has this moment of transformation. He goes from telling them they're a bunch of lazy oafs to understanding that he requires them just as much as they need him. We are all in it together. This is a person who is now representing the notion of tikkun for Mechiras Yosef. Because if Mechiras Yosef is about excising and expunging people, Hillel says, no, I need you. I need all of Klal Yisrael, every single person, Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Eina Yodea Lishol. I need them all. I need them all. Nobody can be expunged. Nobody can be excised. Nobody can just be, can't just be mevatel somebody. We don't do bittul. You know where we do bittul? We do bittul when it comes to chametz. Chametz. We do bittul. Right? We're going to say, kol chamira v'chamia d'ika b'rshusei levatel v'lehevi ka'afra da'ara. We're going to be mevatel the chametz. And that makes a lot of sense. Because as we all know, chametz represents the notion of pride and arrogance. A dough rising big and broad. It is the visual representation of the characteristic of pride and arrogance of gaiva. That's what chametz is. And that is worth doing a bittul on. That is worth being mevatel. We're mevatel gaiva. We're mevatel pride. We're mevatel arrogance. We're not mevatel mitzvahs, and we certainly are not mevatel people. We do not invalidate. We find space for them. That is the essential tikkun of the Seder, of the Haggadah, from Mechiras Yosef. So Hillel turns out to be the perfect end of the whole ritual section, or much of the ritual section of the Haggadah. We just did chametz, and we just did matzah, and maror, and we're doing all the wonderful things. And now the last person we mentioned, the very last person, his halacha, is Hillel. And that's why we say, Zecher LaMikdash KeHillel. Zecher LaMikdash means we're remembering the Mikdash, not Zecher LaChorban. Right, this isn't, you know, breaking a glass under the chuppah. You break a glass under the chuppah, it's to remember the pain and the sadness of destruction. That's Zechel HaChorban. This is Zechel HaMikdash. Because we are trying to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We are trying through the Seder experience to impact ourselves, transform our minds, our thoughts, our being to a Mikdash-oriented lifestyle. And the pathway to the Mikdash, Zecher LaMikdash, we're remembering the Mikdash because we want to get to the Mikdash. And the pathway to Geula Shlema, to the final, complete, and ultimate redemption with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash at its helm, that pathway is paved on the actions of what Hillel taught, which is, what does Hillel say in Pirkei Avos? Have a Talmidav Shel Aaron, Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Esabrios, Umakarvan LaTorah. That's Hillel. That's Hillel taking the Korech, the Matzah, and the Maror, and wrapping it all together. All together. It is that ethos of Hillel. It is the Halacha of Hillel. It is the visual representation of the Matzah bound up in the Korech, in the Maror together, in Korech together, which all reinforces in our minds and in our hearts the idea that we are doing, that we must do a tikkun for Mechiras Yosef. No one is expendable. No one is expendable. We have to find place for everyone. And if we are able to do that, if we are able to eat that sandwich, that korech, with this profound understanding, then maybe that will ultimately impact not just our minds, but our hands, our actions. And if we do that, Be'ezras Hashem, we will be able to indeed effect the Geula Shlema, B'mehera V'yameinu. I want to conclude with a story. And the story goes as follows. You know, thinking about taking the Haggadah seriously, taking the messages of the Seder of Pesach night seriously, or is it just perfunctory? So there's a story in a shtetl some time ago, Yankel and Rachel, and they're very, very poor, dirt poor. They don't have two nickels or two kopecks or two whatevers to rub together. So they're struggling, and they do their very best. Finally, they save up a couple of bucks, and they go buy a chicken. And the chicken starts to lay eggs, and they're selling the eggs. They sell a few more eggs, and they're able to buy another chicken, and then another chicken. Now they're selling. They're mamish selling. They buy a cow, And now they're selling eggs and they're selling milk. And, you know, all of a sudden, they're starting to finally be able to breathe a little bit. They're not under the gun anymore. One day, Rachel comes running in. She says, "Yankel, Yankel, great news. Mashiach is here. Mashiach is here." And Yankel responds, "Oy, just when it was getting good." In other words, that, you know, we all sort of pay lip service to the idea that we're looking, you know, for Bias HaGoel, you know, every Dvar Torah you've heard from a Rav, from a Rosh Hashiva, from a Rebbe, from a Sheva Bracha, they all end same way. Ad Bias HaGoel, Mashiach should come, B'mehera V'Yameinu, right? But is it just perfunctory? Or do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? And that's a question that we need, I think, each of us to pose to ourselves. And then respond by thinking, to the extent that I do take it seriously, what can I do to affect that change? And one answer, I believe, comes in sitting down to a Seder Be'ezras Hashem with our families, hopefully, our friends, whoever we'll be with, Be'ezras Hashem, hopefully everybody will be with someone in a post-corona age, and we will be able to look at one another, discuss, to share, and most of all, to feel connected to one another, to feel that sense of achdus. We end the Seder with Hillel, essentially. But we start the Seder with the introduction of Halach Ma'anya, where we invite people to the Seder. We're not inviting anybody. It's a big sham. Nobody's being invited. Everybody's taken care of, and nobody's being invited. Nobody's popping out of your closet at 9 o'clock at night after you said, whoever wants to come, come and eat. But Halach Ma'anya sets the mission statement for the rest of the Seder. It's telling us this hour, 2 hours, 3, 4, 5 hours that we're going to spend together, this should be a time of transformation when we really incorporate into our minds and into our souls, into the very essence of who we are, a commitment to Bein Adam L'Chavero, to making space for one another, to bringing each other in. And if we do that, Be'ezras Hashem, L'Shana Haba, B'Yerushalayim HaBnuya, for a complete and final redemption, B'mehera V'Yameinu. A Chag Kasher V'Sameach to us all. Kol Tov.